Chaos started early at the border, but I found myself loving it. The atmosphere was electric. It seemed as if everyone was supercharged. Being early in the morning, everyone still had energy. There was laughter, hurried movement, wheeling and dealing, cursing, noise, eclectic colour, worry, stress, anxiety, and more laughter. Every traveller's need was being catered for along the roadsides of the border. All sorts of goods and services were on sale. Bags, coffee, tamales, biscuits, shoes, a porter to help you with your bags, a tout to obtain your photocopies, a Peruvian flag, a hunk of meat, dried or fresh fish. And the money changers buzzed around us like persistent flies. They didn't have any luck at all. We'd spent the last of our soles on petrol just before we'd got to the border. This was a risky thing to do, but we knew that there'd be no official fees to pay to leave the country, and if we didn't have any money, then the unofficial fees would be very hard to pay. This was the first time we'd done this. Usually we had some money within reach just in case we hadn't understood the rules, and there really was a fee of some sort that had to be paid. But this time we knew there wasn't, and were darned if we were going to be tempted to pay a bribe. That would have broken my record. I still hadn't paid anyone any backsheesh anywhere. At one time, this border crossing had had an appalling reputation for bribes and additional fee demands, but now it was supposed to be okay. The government had cracked down, or so we'd been told. The new levels of enforcement didn't stop one of the customs officers from demanding 15 soles each for the privilege of getting the bikes out of Peru. Birgit and Marlene dealt with this man admirably. They refused point blank and made it clear that they knew the rules. I was glad for Birgit that she had a friend who spoke good Spanish to help her through the system. Guy and I did our manly duty of guarding the bikes and the kit. Peru and Ecuador are separated by a river at this point, which is spanned by the International Bridge, as it's called. It was packed with people rushing in a disorderly manner from one country to the next. I had the feeling that all of them were muttering, "Time is money, time is money." But the reality was probably only that they knew how long this border crossing could take, and we were far more relaxed because we didn't. By the time we rolled onto the bridge, it was 12:50. But at least we were halfway there. As we rode under the Welcome to Ecuador banner that hung over the bridge, 4 hours and 10 minutes of farce and fascination began. You can do nothing without your immigration papers. But the immigration office, where you got those papers, was 3 kilometres away, and we were not allowed to take the bikes to get there. Birgit and Marlene took a taxi, only to find that the office was closed and that they should come back at 2:30. Rather than have Guy and I worrying about them, they hitched a ride on the back of a truck back to the border. When they arrived, it wasn't hard to find us. We were the ones that looked like a couple of honeycombs with money changer bees crawling all over us. They had extraordinary persistence.